Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, hey there, Doug Mellard.
Hey, Doug Benton.
It was great to see you in Houston, man.
Yeah, you too, man. That was fun.
Fun show at Warehouse Live, produced by our friends at The Secret Group. It's a secret.
It's a good secret.
I've said too much about The Secret Group. Shh. Our guest today is an actor whose voice is very, very distinct and recognizable. He was Badger on Breaking Bad, and he's on the show Mom and lots of other stuff. And his name is Matt Jones. So we're going to get into it with him about that crazy name. And he's a great guy. I think you're going to like him, Doug.
Iconic. Yeah, I can't wait.
I mean, you get along with most everybody. Who's your top three most hated guests we've had on the show?
I'm not going to do that.
I mean, okay, top two.
Well, I think we know one. I think we know one. We don't say anything, but...
I did a poll on the Wide World of Doug's Twitter account, which is a new thing. If you're listening to this show, please go sign up for that Twitter account. I promise I won't post too much, but all the Doug news that I could get out there. And why'd I bring it up?
A poll.
Oh yeah. I did a poll. You know, who's your favorite Doug so far? Because we've been doing this over a year. We've only had like 4 Dougs on the show.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, who's your favorite? Dougie Doug, Doug Caro, Doug Jones, or Douglas Farrell? Am I missing one?
I think that's about it, right?
DJ Doug Pound, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can go on Twitter on the Wide World of Dougs and answer the poll. But do that later, because right now, it's time for us to let's go to work. Hello. Are you there, Matt Jones?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. We appreciate you joining us today. That's the quiet one is Doug Mellard.
Hey.
Sometimes we call each other by nicknames so everybody can keep us straight. So sometimes I'll call him something like Melly Mel, and he'll call me something like...
DB.
Yeah. And we'll both call you Matt. Is Matt is it short for Matthew? Is it classic
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, just Matt. Only person that's called me Matthew is my grandmother and she's dead. So let's just do Matt.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what you've said your whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people use my name like a one syllable, Matt Jones, you know, like through high school and shit. It was like Matt Jones, which is pretty annoying. I'm just Matt. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess when you have, when it's one syllable in both, first and last name, it makes it real easy for people to do that, full name thing all the time. Plus also, you've met a lot of actors and actresses, and like the crazier people out there love the first and last name, I've noticed.
Love it.
It's a sign someone might be a little nutty if they start referring to using your last name all the time.
Yeah. also having the last name Jones, like you, it's a good barometer Because like if someone calls me Jonesy, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to like that person. Like immediately. I'm like, it's really easy to tell who I'm not going to like.
Yeah. That's a bold leap to just jump to that, especially if they barely know you. Good
Lord. Yeah. Zep, yeah. Jonesy. And you're like, yep, not going to like that guy.
We're done.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, like if somebody calls me Benny, you know, it's, I don't know. I sort of have the same feeling.
Yeah.
Are you, I mean, this is the dumbest question. Like how often do people say, are you related to and name some other Jones? Cause it must be just
all the time.
You're just related to so many people. If you're related to every Jones.
Yeah, there's like 20 million Joneses. Like it's ridiculous. No, I don't know. I guess I'm related to all of them.
Yeah. There's no, because I was going to just ask the dumb question of you, are you related to Doug Jones?
No.
But of course you are, but you're not, because you're only related by name. But
I wish I was. I wish I was related to Toby Jones, Tommy Lee Jones,
Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Right.
I had a script idea years ago called The Jones Boys, where a guy finds out that he's the illegitimate child of Tom Jones. And he like follows him on the road. I'm sure I'm related to Tom Jones.
Was this project going to be with or without Tom Jones's permission?
Oh, I wanted to make it starring Tom Jones.
Oh my God. I'm into it.
Yeah. So you had to get him on board for the project to keep going. I would like to have seen that, but, yeah, so the Joneses are just, it's impossible to keep up with, even though they're always saying to try to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, most Joneses I've known have been pretty poor and white trash, so I never understood that phrase. You know what I mean?
Right, like who's looking up to the Joneses and going,
who are these rich Joneses?
I've just never thought of, I don't associate Jones with any particular background, like is your background like a European or something?
I did one of those like 23andMe's, and it's just basically all over. It's just Europe.
Yeah,
it's like Northern Europe and Eastern Europe and a little bit of Western Europe, and you're like, okay, so Europe.
Yeah, great.
That was it.
Yeah, because there was also a movie with a fictional character called Tom Jones that was popular. I think it even won Best Picture in the 60s with Albert Finney played the title character.
Yeah. He was like a playboy.
Yeah. But it was like a Renaissance kind of setting, I think. So like,
Wasn't he like a con man or something like that? Or
probably.
Yeah.
Always getting caught with the ladies and after they're like, you know, jump out of the second floor of a barn or something. And, it's a real ribald comedy as I'm sure it does not hold up very well, but,
back when movies were fun.
Yeah. But growing up, you know, there's Tom Jones, the singer who sang the theme from, you know, Thunderball. But there was also this movie called Tom Jones starring Albert Finney. So the name Tom Jones was always very confusing to me as a lad, but, as clearly I've worked it all out. and I know what I'm talking about now, but so you don't like Jones. I mean, you know, Jonesy's not a preferred way to go, and neither is any kind of take on Matt. Do people try to jump to the like Matty or?
Well, I was a real fat kid, so Matty Fatty is like not something I'm a fan of. Oh yeah. Kids, remember back when you were allowed to bully each other? Like, you know, the reason why we're in this business.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I would have gotten there maybe at some point, but as long as you bring it up, like, do you feel like the name Matt Jones in its specific and plain nature helps push you into show business?
You know, that's I've thought about that. There was a study, what was it, Freakonomics did a whole thing on it, like name specifics and how that affects people's careers.
Yeah.
And if you have like a really ethnic sounding name, then you tend to not get hired and stuff like that. But like really boring general names, it doesn't really have an effect, you know? I don't know.
Right, other than the basic, you know, white patriarchy, you got that going for you with
I got that in spades. But I think being an actor is generally, you know, I don't know, shitty parenting. But like my son, I named him Jasper, so his name's Jasper Jones. And that's, I think it's a really cool name. Like, is that gonna affect his life in a cool way? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
That sounds like some sort of iconic character. I like it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. Like, you know, is he not going to be cool enough for the name?
Yeah, he's probably not.
I find that the people with the coolest names tend to be like, when you meet them, they end up being pretty chill, you know, like, because
that's what cool people are, is chill.
Yeah. And they're going to say his first and last name all the time in that case, you know, just because it's too fun not to.
Yeah, it's true.
And, you know, and JJ's just waiting for the taking if he, you know, is annoyed by the full name thing.
Well, how old were you when Benson was on TV?
It was, you know, pretty concurrent. So like it was a go-to reference, but nobody knew how to really use it against me, you know, like just saying, hey, you're the governor's assistant or whatever.
hey, Robert Guillaume, right?
Like, was he with I watched the show at the time, but I just remember him more initially from just being the butler on the show Soap.
Yeah.
And then that character got spun off into, then he was like a guy involved with politics, but at first just as a butler and then eventually as an actual politician, I think. So, but yeah, it was just like Benson is all they got. That would be all they have. There's nothing they really add to it, or, you know, there's nothing to, you know, and they never would bring it up in any kind of way that where they actually wanted to, you know, examine race.
I like the idea that all Robert Guillaume's characters connect in some kind of multiverse, like a Guillaume-verse, like his character on what was it, Newsroom, is Benson. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that guy's just like, he just, you know, whenever something ends, he moves on and starts a whole new life.
So many careers.
He was in, for a while there, he was working with Chevy Chase in that movie, Seems Like Old Times. that's a weird one. But I'm super into, and especially now that he's gone, Charles Grodin.
Oh, yeah. I was watching Midnight Run two nights ago.
Oh, so good.
It's such a good movie.
It's really the best. It's like... I certainly, a lot of guys like it, but it doesn't get enough of that guy love that goes to things like, Shawshank Redemption. Every dude loves that movie in a unconditional way that I don't understand.
I think it was just the time in life
where we were all in prison.
Yeah. When we were in our own prisons.
I just like Midnight Run. He's so like, I hadn't seen it in a long time, and watching it again, one of the reasons it's so funny is like De Niro is legitimately really angry the whole movie, and he's so mad at him, and I don't know, he cusses, like everything he's saying is so real. Like there's no jokes. You know what I mean? He's just, it's just situationally funny. It's really funny.
Okay. Yeah, that's the real interesting thing about that movie is how it's, you know, the story keeps moving forward, but like those two actors are just like, at the top of their game and playing it all, so real.
Yeah.
And just like, you just feel De Niro's frustration with this guy, you know, and the viewer is in the same boat that De Niro's character is. It's like, well, we have no reason to really care about if he makes it out, you know, if he lives or not. You know, we're just looking at this through De Niro's perspective. But then, you know, we all learn that, you know, he's a good guy and all those guys chasing him are the bad guys. And it's so good. The music's by Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
And,
it's a great score.
And you have characters in it like Yaphet Kotto, who has who's in like a good quarter of the movie and has maybe eight lines, because you don't have to say too much. Like, he would just so much of it is him just like staring at people, and it's so funny. I don't know. It's such a good movie.
Yeah, and it's hilarious at the very end how he's like, De Niro's like trying to get a car at the airport, and he after trying one car, he gives up and just says, "I'll walk home." And he lights a cigarette, starts walking out of LAX.
That's amazing.
How long before that's rebooted? Like, that already has to be in the works, I would imagine, right?
I don't know. Cause it's, you know, it's one of those movies that, like, when people bring it up, everybody gets excited, but it wasn't a huge hit at the at the time. So it's never made that kind of imprint. Like, cause everything that's getting remade is anything where they feel the title is enough to get people excited, no matter what kind of garbage they make with it.
They were shooting next to I work at Warner Brothers right now, and next to us, they're shooting Head of the Class.
What?
And I was like, and it's out, by the way. There's a Head of the Class. It's on, like, I don't know, HBO Max or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's with like a very pretty young girl who's head of the class and like wisecracking kids. And I was like, the whole point of that show is like Howard Hessman was like a crazy hippie and working with inner city kids. And I loved that show when I was younger.
Yeah.
And it's like the whole point of the show is completely thrown out the window. And also, who the hell is, are they remaking Head of the Class for? Like, I'm in my 40s and I barely remember it. You know what I mean? Wow. Like, it's just for the title of the show. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it just comes down to that, like, the executives just feel it's safer to do something that's they think is like worked before or whatever. But like,
Safer to remake Valerie.
Right.
You know, it's not like Saved by the Bell, where like the remake gets people excited because they, you know, are, you know, that's just a show that's just somehow stayed in people's consciousness. I think Head of the Class was only on for like two seasons.
Wow.
Probably. The big bombshell last week, did you see Roadhouse is getting rebased?
Oh, no.
No, but get this, with Jake Gyllenhaal and Doug Liman.
Ooh.
Whoa.
That's interesting.
Weird. That makes no sense. Like, it wasn't, people still love it because it's ridiculous. Like, it's not.
It sounds like Gyllenhaal wants to take his shirt off. he's like, it didn't work out so good with Prince of Persia, but I'm ready to try again.
There's so many good lines from Roadhouse. Don't hurt.
Well, that's the thing, is they're so iconic, the way that, you know, that Swayze saying them, like, I feel like they'd have to either ditch them or figure out like clever ways to work them in. Like, maybe he's, maybe he could be the grandson of Dalton. So like the, some of the references could just be referring to his grandfather instead of him having to say them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's his name? Sam Elliott's still around, although he dies in Roadhouse. He just gets hurt.
He dies.
The knife is in him with the note.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Also, I like that they like stabbed him and then like lifted him up and put him on that bar.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah, it was a lot of work.
Yeah, it's funny too that how scrawny he was, and you know, just looked playing a bouncer, and then now he's like so much, you know, he's older, but he's much tougher looking these days than he was then.
Yeah. Yes. He's a real pussy back then. That's what you're saying, right?
It was just funny how he'd like a fight would start to break out, and he'd just take out a scrunchie and put his hair in it and start punching people.
that was a weird like obsession in the 80s with like like ninjas and like the Far East. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
Everybody was like growing their hair like they're a shogun.
Yeah, there was a real like Steven Seagal effect.
Yeah.
where it's just like white dudes trying to act like they've, you know, got, I mean, now it's, you know, Cobra Kai is huge now. So like there's, you know, the cultural appropriation just rages on.
I actually made a scripted podcast, like, boy, we recorded it like a month before the pandemic and then we edited it together. And then, you know, all these podcast companies and stuff, and I didn't own it anymore and all these things. And then I finally got it back. And then I'm like, never mind. I'm just not going to make the show. Oh. But the first episode is a direct parody of Roadhouse.
Whoa. Yes.
Yeah. It's the show. It's called The Legend of Justice James. And I play a guy who's just a total ripoff of what's Dalton. Renegade, Lorenzo Lamas's character.
Oh, yeah.
Renegade. And he just goes across the nation on a motorcycle solving mysteries and stuff. But every episode was a parody of a TV show or of a action movie. So like the first episode was Roadhouse, and then we're going to do Die Hard and all the stuff. But yeah. And but then you had to like actually do the work. And I was like, yeah, never mind. I'm on a TV show. I'm busy enough.
Yeah. It sounds fun until the work part comes into it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh wow. It's really, you know, a few episodes in, what are we going to parody next? You know,
like yeah.
some of these things, they really like, I see the promos for the Goldbergs all the time.
Sure.
And it seems like almost every episode is a parody of a different,
they've had to have run out of 80s movies by now.
Right? That's what I'm thinking. It's like, how can they keep doing that? Like, I guess they just can age it up as if naturally, like just whatever, you know, each year.
Didn't Dan Harmon write a My Dinner with Andre parody for Community? Wasn't one of the episodes based on My Dinner with Andre? I think it was.
I wouldn't be surprised if he went that esoteric with his parody. But also, what would the rest of the cast be doing? Because if it's just two people at a meal...
Yeah, I think it was an A and B storyline kind of thing. I don't remember.
I think so. Yeah, I think they had to juice it somehow. Because which two Community characters would you even pick for a Dinner with Andre situation?
Mm.
My Dinner with Badger. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
To sit down with Badger and have a meal. So, is Badger his given name, you think?
No, it's Brandon Mayhew was his name.
Oh, okay. So, and Brandon, do you think Brandon's tend to be nicknamed? Is Badger like a natural leap from Brandon?
Honestly, I looked this up. I can't remember. When I originally auditioned for the show, the character was named something else. And I can't find the email of the original sides. I don't know what it was. but I auditioned like...
Is it a different animal?
No, it was a guy's name. And then
George.
Yeah, something like that. And then I did the audition, and then I flew there and I got the script, and they're like, oh, by the way, we renamed the character Badger. And I was like, I think it's because they thought I was annoying. And I was like, that's fine. As long as I get cast, that's fine. But apparently Vince had told me that the way they had written it, they didn't really see it as funny as I had kind of played it. You know what I mean? He was supposed to be a real sleazeball, and that ended up kind of, and then the reason, and then that changed, that set off a domino effect of other things where I was supposed to introduce Walt to Tuco, but they were like, well, Badger doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would know Tuco.
Yeah.
But we had that guy that only had like two lines in like episode three, that skinny stoner on the couch. So let's bring him back. And he's actually Badger's friend who does know Tuco. So then that was the creation of Skinny Pete, was based on the fact, that they didn't believe that I would know Tuco. Yeah.
What a sweet, that's a sweet break for the Skinny Pete guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Charles, his name. Charles Baker.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, so, that was I shot that first episode in 2007.
Wow.
Damn. Yeah.
That was 14 years ago.
Oh my God. That does not feel that far off.
Yeah. And then it aired in 2008, the first season.
Right.
What was the longest break between, like, because obviously that was one of those shows where sometimes new seasons would take longer than others. What was the longest between, you know, like between shooting scenes as Badger and having to go back to it?
Oh God. I mean, sometimes a year, you know, like a full year. Well, because I would do, I don't know. I think I was only in what, like 14 episodes of the show, and there's like 50, and I was broke. I was so poor. Cause it's, I have no problem saying it now, but it's cable, you know, it sucks. Yeah. So I got like, I think first couple episodes, I got like $1,800 for the episode, and you can't live off $1,800 for a year in Los Angeles. So then I was doing commercials. I was booking pilots as an actor, you know, I was writing, I sold a handful of scripts. I was doing anything I could to just stay afloat. And then every now and then they would call me back and I would do an episode, but I was never like, it's so weird. Cause the pantheon of the show, I'm like part of the show, but I wasn't really part of the show.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, it totally feels like there should have at least been one season where you appeared enough that it was like, you were like a regular that season or something, but
no, I think the most I did was 4 episodes in a season, maybe 3. Yeah.
Well, that's you make a big impact. So that's nice.
Yeah.
that's a good thing. So Badger, that you think he just got nicknamed that because he would bother.
Yeah, he annoyed people. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he didn't seem that, he wasn't that pushy though. It was like more of a mellow annoying.
Yeah. But then they would write those scenes where we would kind of just talk forever. You know what I mean? Just kind of, you know, just badger on.
I think. Yeah. Well, that was the next thing I was going to say is also, how long was it between your scenes in the last season of the series and the El Camino movie?
Oh God. That would have been 8 years, I think.
Oh, damn.
7 years? 7 years?
So, yeah,
7 or 8 years.
And then, so your scenes in El Camino are supposed to be that from that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, did they do anything weird? How did they make you seem younger or seem like
I had gained some weight because I was going through a divorce. No, that's all right. I'm remarried. Everything's good. Okay. But I'd gained some weight and I don't know. I still looked relatively young. I don't know. They didn't have to do anything. Yeah.
But I mean, they did some weird business with Heisenberg.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't have to do anything with me.
They didn't Irish man you.
No, they didn't really need to. And Charles always looks like skinny Pete. He always looks old. You know what I mean? Like he's got that kind of face, like very character-y. So he didn't have to worry about it either. Like we were fine. I mean, we're also supposed to be, you know, stoner drug addict kind of people, but
yeah. And you are like, I dare say like the comic relief of that movie. Cause it's, most of the movie's pretty heavy, but your scene's funny.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. It was nice coming back. It was great going back. It was fun.
So do you think like, do you just sit around thinking, well, you never know as far as some reason for the Badger to come back somewhere?
I mean, it's tough. I go back and forth on this because, like, you know, you come to be known for doing one thing, and I've just done so many other things now. But I'm also that was a big thing, you know. Yeah. And you're like, I need to grow up and move on. But I also like, you know, I don't forget where I came from. You know what I mean? It's like I go back and forth. It's tough because like I've been doing sitcoms now with Chuck Lorre for what is this? I did four. I'm on 8 years now. Wow. I was a series regular on Mom for 4 years, and now I'm on Bob Hart's Abish Chill on CBS, and that's we're 3 years in on that. And it's like I've been doing like network TV for so long, and I love it, but I'm also like I kind of do miss doing the grimy New Mexico shit too, of course. I miss it. Yeah. I don't know. I run into every now and then, I run into like Peter Gould or some of the guys that are making
Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul. And yeah, it's like the issue is I introduced Saul Goodman's character to Breaking Bad. His first episode was called Better Call Saul, and it was because I got arrested. He played my lawyer. And that's and then that's how we met Walter White, and that's how it all got started. So if it's a prequel, I can't be in the prequel.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd have to be like the last scene of the prequel. You know what I mean? But that but that scene's already been shot. The scene of where we meet was like, yeah, in episode 7 or 8. And so
maybe it ends with you in the car about to get out to go meet.
Right.
Something really like weird.
Well, something obscure. I'm going to say that that Better Call Saul could catch up to the Breaking Bad storyline.
Yeah,
at some point, because that's where it's headed. Is he's not, you know, he's not even Saul Goodman yet, or he, you know, just became Saul Goodman in the last season or so of Better Call Saul, and I'm just really fascinated by how close the two shows are going to touch. You know,
yeah, I imagine like it would be nice if they cut like 10 years in the future past Breaking Bad. You know what I mean? Like even further.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul's like still working at Cinnabon or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just walk by with like a kid in a stroller and like, you know, in like a UPS uniform or some bullshit job. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I just became a suburbanite. You know what I mean? That's why I think the real, what would happen.
Right.
Because the fact is, people like Badger end up having kids.
They do. It's true.
They
it's
really true. Do.
Mm-hmm. They're not going to be careful.
No. No.
Like, do you think, like, part of that thing we were talking before about, you know, names determining your fate or whatever, do you think that everyone calling him Badger made, you know, that contributed to his criminal ways somewhat, like it just made him a worse person?
No, he was like one of the only, my son, it's weird. I have a 6-year-old and we'll be walking down the street and somebody will come up to me and, and recognize me from the show. And so he's very aware that dad was on a show called Breaking Bad. And he's really obsessed with the idea of good and bad guys and good guys on TV shows. And so he'll always be like, Dad, were you a good guy or a bad guy in Breaking Bad? And I'm like, honestly, I was kind of both.
Yeah.
Because like of the bad guys, I was a good guy.
Sure.
But of the good guys, I was a bad guy. So like, it's very down the middle. Like, I think Badger was, you know, one of the reasons that Jesse didn't die, you know?
Yeah. He had a good heart. He just fell into a bad crowd.
Yeah. You know, he just likes to hang out.
Yeah. He just likes to party.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, that show trickles down from the top. Like Walter White is a bad guy, but he's the show's good. You know, he's the show's protagonist.
Yeah.
So you've already got, it's already, everything's kind of flipped and, you know, over the course of the show, it just sort of maneuvered around who was going to be better than everyone else, like who was going to have try to take the moral high ground.
Yeah.
Except for like a Tuco never does, I guess. No, but I just can't. I can't see Danny Trejo without picturing his head on the back of the throat. We got to take a commercial break. We've been going so strong that you know, it left my mind that we have a break in the show. So let's do that. And we'll be back with more with Matt, not Matthew, Jones, not Jonesy. We'll be right back.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
We're back. My next question for you, Matt Jones, is about Doug's. how many have you known?
How many Doug's?
Yeah.
Funny, the show I'm on right now, my character's name is Doug.
Oh, right.
What?
Yeah. I play Douglas Wheeler, or Doug, on Bob Hart's Abishola on CBS.
And is...
I saw my friend Doug Jones last night, unrelated, not related.
But, okay, but my question about your character, Douglas Wheeler, is, does everybody on the, like, do the other characters call him Douglas or Doug?
Doug and Douglas, yeah. Because one of the main
depending
characters...
on the scenario?
Yeah, one of the main characters on the show is my mom, so there's a lot of Douglas from my mom.
I see.
My brother, who's like the lead of the show, he calls me Doug, so...
Bob.
Yeah.
Bob Hart's Abishola and his brother Douglas.
Yeah, it's Billy Gardell who's
Yeah, he's great.
He's a great guy.
Nice man.
Yeah. Really cool thing I just found out because she just told me. My mom is played by Christine Ebersol, who goes back, you know, she's
forever, yeah.
Old broad, been around for forever. A great actress, has won some Tonys, all that jazz. And she told me she's in Licorice Pizza.
Neat.
And she's like, I found out they didn't cut my scene. I was like, what? And she plays Lucille Ball in Licorice Pizza.
Oh my God.
So I'm really excited to see the movie. It's like I haven't been this excited to see a movie since Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I could totally see her doing that. You know, I mean, that's perfect. Like, she'd be great at that.
Yeah, because she's because that was like around the same time when Lucille Ball was in her 70s.
I got to see Christine in when she was in Grey Gardens on Broadway.
Oh yeah, she's got some great stories about some wackos, about a lot of like stalker types came out of the woodwork when she started doing that.
Yeah, I bet.
There's a real obsession with Grey Gardens.
Yeah. No, that's she was amazing in the show. And she was, you know, she was a SNL cast member at one point.
Yeah, early 80s.
Yeah. She's done it all. Okay, so we were going through Doug's, you know. So you played Doug on Bob Hart's Abishola on CBS. And then... Doug Jones. You know Doug Jones.
I'm gonna look up my phone contacts.
Okay. Yeah. Just type in Doug and see what kind of magic happens.
I only have two Dougs on here.
Wow.
Doug Benson and Doug Jones.
Whoa. We're finding that everywhere we go and everyone we talk to, there seems to be is the right word dearth when there's not many. There's the dearth of Dougs.
Yeah, there's a culling of the Dougs.
Yeah, people have really put the brakes on that name. But do you feel like your character on that show, do you feel like Chuck Lorre, like, do you feel like Doug was the name they came up with because it kind of already paints a picture of kind of a bland person or something like that?
If you're asking if my character's a moron, the question is yes. The answer is yes. He's kind of a moron.
So people are kind of like, oh, here comes Doug.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. That's tough. That's tough. Yeah.
Yeah, Doug is a fun name to say with attitude.
Rolling. Yeah. And saying to someone, Douglas, is also very petulant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Very condescending.
Yeah. Yeah, that works out perfect. But I'm sure that show is, I don't know the lady that plays Abishola, but I know Gina Yashere. We did Last Comic Standing together. We were in the same season.
Yeah, she created the show. She's great. Honestly,
yeah.
I never, with awards and all that stuff, I'm like, whatever. I think it's dumb, but I think Gina should be like in the conversation for supporting actress on a TV show. She's freaking amazing on her show.
All right. Well, we're starting the conversation now.
She's really incredible on that show. She's just so funny, and there's no one else like her on TV. So
she's a very, very entertaining lady. And I think you're right. Hopefully this season, but I feel like this show's got some legs. It's going to be around for a minute.
Yeah. Oh, it's Chuck Lorre. We'll be fine.
Yeah. Right.
But like, it's funny. I was talking about this the other day. Most characters I've played have stupid names. Like, like Doug is actually not that bad. You know what I mean? Like,
we're used to it. We get it.
No, but like, it has like, they're always like, here, wait. I pulled up my own IMDb. Here, I'll go through character names. Doug, Person, Bo, Noober, Badger, Baxter, Joe, Kyle, Pig, Craig, Greg, Marlin, Max, Hector, Ned. I played... on NCIS, I played Ned Dornigit. Like, if it's a Gil, if it's a stupid name, I'm probably going to get the show.
Wow.
Zeke, I played Zeke on The Office. Yeah. Bullwinkle on Hawaii 5-0. Yeah. Just dumb names. Gunther was another one. Yeah. Hummingbird, I played a character named Hummingbird on a show once. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Eggnog. I forgot about that one. Chris Eggnog. Yeah. Yeah.
You've really found the key. I mean, you could have just skipped those auditions where the names were like, cool names.
Oh, I know. It's just like, I've never played like John. David.
William.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, I don't know. I'm, in my 40s and I've been working now for God, like 22 years and haven't had a job that's not acting. And I can't get mad at the fact that I'm hired to be a moron all the time because I'm still getting hired,
Like, I feel like that speaks to you because you have a very likable, presence. So I feel like.
Yeah. Lovable loser. It's great. I'm fine with it.
And you got to have good comedic timing though. Like,
yes, of course. Yeah.
That's the thing is that the,
I bet you this is, don't you get mad when you watch a movie and someone plays a stoner poorly?
Oh, it's weird.
when I see someone play dumb poorly, I'm like, motherfucker, it's so easy. Like, right. It makes me so mad. Yeah.
Don't do
my shit bad.
The stoner thing cracks me up because people immediately go to like they're hallucinating or something. And, like it's reefer madness.
Yeah.
And, or they just, can't remember anything. And it's like, no, it's, it's you can't remember every other thing. you'll become a complete idiot. Just you're missing portions of the brain that you probably need.
Yeah, but, when I get stoned, I become hyper focused on the wrong things.
Yeah,
right. But sometimes those wrong things, it ends up being the right thing. Like, because just focus is good in general. As long as as long as it's not something destructive. I do. It's weird what you can get done when you're stoned.
One of the worst stoned I ever got was on your show. seriously, getting Doug with high. Well, there's two in my life that were really bad, but that one was pretty rough because, well, since last time I saw you, I've probably lost 80 pounds. When I did your show, I was like in a heavy way, you know, not feeling real healthy. And I just, I think we did a dab. Yeah, that was it.
Sure, sure.
And I just, you guys got me a car on the way home and I was just like pouring sweat in the back of the car. Like,
God.
You know what I mean? Just like, man, I'm going to throw up in this fucking car like the whole time. Cause you know, I live on the East side and you guys shot in, you know, Arizona and I was just like, God damn it. But the worst I ever got was I was in Vancouver shooting, a movie, that was not, it was not very good. So, in between, I would have like a couple of days off and whatever. I'm sitting downstairs at the bar. There's a famous hotel in Vancouver that everybody stays at when you're shooting a movie called the Sutton.
Yeah.
Downstairs in the Sutton having a, you know, $12 Manhattan. And, this guy sits next to me and he goes, "Hey man, I don't know what we started talking about, but I was drinking, but, we started talking. He's a nice guy. And he goes, "By the way, I'm a marijuana distributor." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." And he's like, "No, seriously. Do you want to see what, like, what did he say? Like 15 duffel bags filled with weed looks like?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So we went up to his room and sure enough, he had these long duffel bags just filled with weed.
Oh my God.
Just like so filled with weed. And he got, and he just like scooped his hand in and put some in a bag. He's like, "Here you go. Here's some, enjoy yourself while you're here." And I was like, "Oh my God, thanks, man." And then he goes, and I don't actually smoke pot very often, every once in a while. I have a hard time, getting anything done. But, then he was like, "Hey, do you want to do a dab?" And I'd never done one before. And then I did it with this guy and I almost started crying. I was like, "I don't know why I'm in your room. Who are you? Why am I here? Well, there's so much weed here. I gotta leave." And I like ran out of there and like went down and like wandered the street and forgot I had just came out of my own hotel. It was horrible. Yeah. But I saw like the most marijuana I've ever seen in my life. It was unbelievable.
That is wild. And I've definitely been there. A couple weeks ago on the road, I was in a hotel room, ate an edible. It went awry. The pizza man shows up and I thought he was there to kidnap me. And I it was bad.
The way people will hard knock on a hotel room door like they don't know you're in there and you're fucked up is really upsetting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, do you remember that, David Cross stand-up bit, the answer your telephone bit?
Yeah, yeah.
He tells that story about being, I've felt that so many times, like on the road. You know what I mean? Where you're like, I've met, like, you're shooting a movie, or I used to do comedy, and you'd be in a new city and do stuff, and then you get, just for some reason, I don't know why, but you just drank everything and did everything.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to get on a flight at like 10, like so dumb time, like 8 a.m. And you're up till 4 in the morning, just stupid shit. And you have someone knocking on your door and it's like, "Hey, they're calling you. They're calling you." And I've felt that too many times.
I might feel it tonight.
What city are you in?
Denver.
Oh boy.
That's right. I forgot that you're on the road right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Where in Denver are you at?
I'll be at the Comedy Works. So.
Oh, okay.
Right downtown. So it's next to a dispensary. It's a little dangerous.
That brewery district in Denver is dangerous.
Great.
Where you can just walk around and there's all these amazing beers and it's like it's all just right next to each other and then. Then you know you're drunk.
Just outside of the Comedy Works, they've made it one of those streets that Larimer Square is now one of the streets that they block off from traffic, and all the restaurants and bars have spilled out into having tables out there in the street, and it's really cute. I was just there month or so ago. I was there in October. So you're doing shows tonight through through Sunday,
Saturday, and then we're doing a couple of shows in Loveland, Colorado, Sunday. So
where?
Loveland.
Loveland?
The Mormons had to have started that city, right? Like,
oh, for sure.
Loveland. I mean, somebody with some money should open up an amusement park there, and it's all rides you can have sex on or something.
That's, oh yeah, Loveland. That's like right near the border.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh my God.
The border with what?
Wyoming.
Oh, okay. So there's not a lot of trafficking going on over that border.
I believe Colorado is landlocked.
Before we let you go, Matt Jones, I just wanted to bring up our second gentleman of the United States. His name, Doug.
Oh, right.
Right. Douglas Emhoff.
Right.
So if you ever, like, you know, all the TV stuff you've done, have you ever been at like a function with like, you know, our top politicians, like the president and stuff?
Eric Garcetti came on set recently. This would have been right before COVID.
Right.
Who have I met? I met Arnold. Oh yeah. So this is years ago. This is like 2000, I want to say two. And I'm in a sketch group, and one of the guys still lives at home at his parents' house in the Palisades. And we rehearse sketches in his garage. So I have to drive out to the Palisades, and I have this shitty, like 1985 Nissan Sentra, but I, you know, try to make the best of it. I got a radio and all this, and I'm playing Sticks, Come Sail Away. My windows rolled down, driving through the Palisades, just loud, right? Just loud. I pull up to a stoplight, and a girl pulls up next to me on a ninja motorcycle, and she's beautiful. And she like looks at me and like smiles and like drives off because she can hear Sticks, Come Sail Away. And like it's in the chorus, and it's like, Come Sail Away. It's like huge. And then, and I'm feeling myself, and I pull up to the next stoplight, and pulls up next to me in a convertible Ferrari was Arnold Schwarzenegger in a black t-shirt and black sunglasses, looking exactly like the Terminator.
Oh my God.
And the chorus has just hit this huge, like, you know, crescendo. And he just turns and looks at me, gives me a thumbs up, and just peels out.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the closest thing I've ever gotten to a president.
That's pretty close to a president. Yeah. He's close to a president. He's you know, married into a presidential family.
Yeah. He's a Kennedy.
Yeah. Well, that is a good one. But if you ever, you know, are at a stoplight and you look over and Doug Emhoff is sitting there, you know,
Kamala would be driving, right?
Turn down the music and ask him, tell him that we want him to come on Wide World of Doug's.
Absolutely.
You know, and you can be like, I did it, so, you know, you can do it, that kind of thing. Like, we're just trying to get the word out that we want him to be on this show.
Yeah.
I really think we could even maybe just stop doing this show if we got him to be a guest, because he's the most powerful Doug in the free world.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you top that?
You don't.
So maybe we never get him. That's how this show keeps going. We never get him.
What about a, you know? What about like a Donald? You know what I mean?
What about a Donald?
Is that close to Doug? You know what I mean?
I hope not. Right. I hope nobody thinks it is. Donald. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen to the name Donald. Like, is it going to get a resurgence just because of Trump's popularity, or is it just a negative, even if you're a fan?
Yeah, that's tough.
it's a strange association at this point, but also not the greatest name in the first place. You know,
no, it's not.
You know, all the other kids are just going to call you Donald Dick.
Yeah.
It's just right there. It's just go for it. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Matt Jones. You're always so nice to come on my various shows. And do you have anything in addition to Bob Hart's Amishola? Is anything you'd like to plug or promote?
I'm sure there are things. I can't remember them at the moment.
You got high just talking to me, I guess.
I know. So I think I did. No, man, just the show. And if,
you know, don't worry about it, man.
Yeah.
You're a great talk show guest. You're just like, I don't care, man.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
You get yelled at by publicists a lot. Like, you should have said this.
Oh, I fired publicists. I was like, I'm not giving you money to do what I can do myself. Like, until I get great abs or start banging up one of the Kardashians, no one gives a shit. You know what I mean? Like,
right. And then why would you need a publicist if
exactly.
you're doing those?
I don't know. That I think it's a racket. Shout out to my publicist. He's a very nice guy.
There's publicists for the networks and for the individual programs and the individual movies. So, like, you know, there's always somebody that suddenly is your handler that you didn't agree to necessarily.
Right. And like CBS, they do a great job for us anyway. So, I don't need to spend my own money on that garbage.
Yeah. And you don't need to, the CBS doesn't want you to run it by them when you're going to go do something like this.
Exactly. No.
I love it. That's great. You're living the life. You're living the life, Matt. And Doug Mellor, do you have anything you want to plug?
Like I said, I'm here in Denver with Dan Cummins today, Friday, or yeah, I guess you'll hear it Friday through Saturday at Comedy Works downtown. And then we will be in Loveland at El Rialto Theater on Sunday. And then I'm headlining the Velveeta Room in Austin, Texas next weekend, Friday and Saturday, the 26th and 27th. And then I help make a feature film in quarantine. It's playing right now virtually. It's at the Maui Film Festival. It's mauifilmfestival.com. It's called The Disappearance of Toby Blackwood. Give it a shout. Give it some love. And maybe DB makes an appearance in it. You'll have to
check. Oh, maybe.
You're in there, of course.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I just want to plug that my annual Douglas Movies 12 Guests of Christmas show at the Gramercy Theater is on Sunday, November 28th, and that all my stuff is at DougLovesMovies.com. Thanks once again to Doug Mellor and Matt Jones.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. As always, Breaking Doug.
Got it.